Make May your month for big cash winnings at your favorite Washington Gold Casino. Just stop by the Crazy Moose Casino in Mound Lake Terrace and see how their guests are winning thousands in cash prizes. So why not make today your day to strike it rich? Washington Gold Casinos. So close, it feels like home.
Get the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Song.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Sulfur, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Song.
Hello, hello, hello. How's everything going? What'd you think of the draft last night? It was one of the biggest nights on the sports calendar, and it did not disappoint,
nope.
Man. Right off the bat, all kinds of craziness in the first 10 picks or so. All the quarterbacks came off the board. The Seahawks, as expected, traded out of the number 18 pick. Okay, fine. They go to 27, and then I love, Brock, I love what they did at number 27. Rashad Penny. They get a third rounder in the process and take a really, really good running back.
If you Google searched, like Google word searched, anybody in this town, any show, AM, FM, any sports talk, any other serious radio that comes into Seattle, you Google word search anybody, any host, nobody said the name Rashad Penny more than you did. And I'm serious. You had said that a number of times. Not that the Seahawks are going to take him at 27 or not that, but just say, put this kid in that group. Yeah, there's Saquon Barkley. You better put this kid in this group.
Well, there's a pretty good reason to do so.
He led the country in rushing yards.
He ran for 2,200 yards this year. And by the way, he didn't do it all against the Sisters of the Poor. So if you're just waking up this morning and you saw last night, you're like, Rashad Penny? I don't know who that is. I know who Nick Chubb is. He's a running back from Georgia. And Sony Michel, they won a title. Yeah, both guys have injury concerns. Well, I know Saquon Barkley is. Well, yeah, but you weren't getting up to number two in the draft. Well, I know Darius Geis is. Yeah, maybe you watched LSU, you know, SEC guy, but... Yeah, he's kind of weird. Is that a good way of phrasing it?
That's very
weird. He's got some mental concerns.
That's very good.
All right. This was his season. I'm just going to read you real quick, so see if you can follow along.
Let me just tell you, this is the guy they wanted. This is the guy they wanted. I could say that unequivocally, right? And we can believe it wholeheartedly. That pick gets made last night, you, me, Lydia, 4,500 Seahawks fans are down there at Earl's with a little season ticket holder event, and I was, you know, very adamant about that. That you don't have to sit and worry as you listen to Pete and John at the presser of, well, this is the guy we wanted. We targeted him all along. He was the guy. Da-da-da-da-da. Nope. You don't have to worry about that because every one of those guys you just referenced was on the board. Mm-hmm. Their resumes were on the board. You know, their projection of what they're going to be, it was all on the board. And this is the running back they wanted, and they didn't care where anybody else valued him, if it was in the 30s or the 40s or somewhere else. They were not going to trade down and miss out on the guy that they wanted more than the others.
He ran for more than 2,000 yards, Brock. He had an average yard per carry of 15.8 this year.
No.
When he touched the ball... I'm sorry.
Oh, that includes kickoff.
That was the final. I'm sorry. That was just, I thought that was a total. My bad.
No, that's okay. It was over seven, though.
It was over seven. Excuse me.
If it was 15.8, he'd have been the number one
pick.
I'm sorry.
That was the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, which I watched.
Gotcha.
Where he ran for 221 yards on 14 carries.
There we go. There we go. And
by the way, had four touchdowns in that game. Against the couple of really good teams, well, at least the two Pac-12 teams he played against, they beat both Arizona State and Stanford. Why? Because of him. Against Arizona State, a team that beat the Huskies, right? He rushed 18 times for 216 yards.
Yep.
That's a 12-yard per carry average. Against Stanford, a team that, beat the Huskies. He did carry the ball 32 times for 175 yards and a 5.5-yard per carry average. He played Air Force, 128 yards. He played, UNLV, 170.
He's a monster.
Against
monster.
Hawaii, he rushed for 253 and then 234 and then 220. His last five games of the year, 253, 234, 222, 203, 221.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah, he paid his dues. He waited his turn. A few of the things I know Pete loved that I also love when it comes to the running back. Number one, he played in 54 games in college. And he was available and he played in 54 games in college. Okay, so that durability factor is real. You know that I talk about that all the time, and it's why Josh Rosen at number 10 is a joke to me. that if you can't be healthy in college and finish the season, I don't know how in the world you're going to project to do that in the NFL. 54 games allowed or available, and he played in all 54.
And at the same time, at 54 games, he wasn't overworked. You're not talking about Nick Chubb with 4 years' worth of work. You're talking about a guy who didn't take over the job until 2 years ago. It's one of the things that attracted Pete Carroll and John Schneider to him.
Hasn't been overworked, if that's, you know, part of it, you know, but he still can carry the load. His running game, too, was very similar to things that we do. He's run some of the exact same plays. So we've seen him run behind the fullback. We've seen him run downhill and the perimeter stuff. Just everything just fit. It's just a beautiful pick. And there was another great runner in this draft. This is a fantastic draft for running backs. Johnny's been, you know, showing us that all throughout. But I don't know anybody other than Saquon Barkley that was, he's an extraordinary player. And we haven't seen a guy like that in years. And this guy's right there in the ability to make the explosive plays and the big stuff happen. So it's really exciting. I think our fans will be pumped about this thing. Can't wait to see him in the kicking game, but from the line of scrimmage as well. He's going to really be a great threat.
And this is a guy, Mike, that would have gone 25 to 50.
Yeah, that's the big complaint you keep hearing from a group of people out there who say this was a third-round pick.
Yeah. No, he would have gone somewhere between 25 and 50. You know, going back and looking now and revisiting a bunch of these mock drafts and kind of the study guide that I spend a lot of time looking into, the Our Lads guys who send us things. And you just look at their list of 25 to 50, and you hear that from a lot of NFL people. We heard that pretty clearly coming into this draft. Certainly Daniel Jeremiah and those guys that still have friends in the business say, hey, man, you look at 25 to 50, it's then what do you want? What does your team need? What is your wish list and most important to you? And, you know, I'm looking at this book here, and they do. They have Penny. These guys have Penny at, what, 35? Pro Football Focus had him at 28. You know, he's right in that mix, as is Nick Chubb, who's going to go in the 30s today, as was Sony Michel, who went four picks later.
I think people get caught up in this. Oh, well, Mel Kiper Jr. said he was a third-round pick, so you could have had him in the third round. Unfortunately, the world just doesn't work that way, and I think John Schneider accurately explains why, right? Last night they take Rashad Penny, and the next thing that happens is like an NBA situation.
Well, we would have taken him at 18, so that's why we feel super blessed. I mean, we, you know, whenever you move back, people are always like, I just moved back. I mean, it's a pretty hard thing to do, you know, like you have to find a partner. We had several people walk away from us, and we felt, you know, like I said, we felt real blessed that Green Bay hung in there with us, and really a true rarity is that we had a team call us after we selected him to try to, you know, acquire him, which is, I've never experienced that.
You ever heard of that?
Well, they wanted him for a third round pick.
Stop. Stop it.
That was Danny's tweet, not mine.
They'll give you a third round pick for the kid you just took in the first.
And yes, John, you could have taken him at 18 because nobody else is going to take him quite at 18.
But even better, you get a third-round pick, which you absolutely
needed. And a high third-round pick.
Here's what I like about what they did yesterday, and that'll be the question open to you guys today. What do you think about what the Seahawks did yesterday? 206-421-3776. I like this. They acquired a pick, which they needed to do in the third round. They stuck to their stated philosophy, Brock, which is to be a physical run-first football team, and they acquired a running back who's going to help them with that. They drafted a high-character player who could absolutely become a leader and part of the next generation of leaders on this team, and they got more physical at the same time. And if you look at those Pro Football Focus numbers, and I don't know whether to trust those or not, but when they say yards after being hit in the backfield, and he's got 3 more yards per carry than Saquon Barkley does, I'll take it, because often when you run for the Seahawks, you get hit in the backfield.
Yeah, and whether it is yards after contact, whether it is, you know, breaking tackles, whatever those metrics, those analytics guys loved him, and they loved his game. And let's just be clear, the Seahawks love this guy as a person. Pete spoke to it afterwards about some of the humility and you know, how he's going to fit in, that he paid his dues, that things weren't handed to you, and welcome to the culture that is going to be retooled here in Seattle. That is what this thing is going to be about. If you want what you want just for yourself, you're going to have a harder time. In Blue 42, I'll tell you a couple things that I heard from Tyler Lockett last night, who was with us, and just kind of catching up with him off mic, and nothing but encouragement. You know, just to feel some of the energy, to talk to some of the Seahawks personnel and people that we were around last night, and to just feel some of the vibe in the building. Mike, and you were, man, you had that look on your face. I looked over at you. And I don't know if this was before or after the birthday wishes from Lawyer Malloy.
That was nice. Yeah. Thanks, Lawyer.
Yep. But you know, this pick came and you just had this look.
Like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I'll say it very clearly.
Yeah.
This is my.
Yeah.
That's not true. Well, I did not do that.
Close.
That's not
that's
it at all.
That's what your face said.
No,
your
it
face
did not.
Said yes.
What
yes.
It says is this. It says that this is my favorite first-round pick the Seahawks have made since Earl Thomas.
Because?
Well, he's the first one I've heard of. I got to be very clear. He's the first-round pick they've made since Earl Thomas that I had ever heard of. I had never heard of Bruce Irvin, other than the guy who happened to call us. I had never heard of Jermaine Effetti, and I'd never heard of Carpenter. Neither had you.
Nope.
So this is the first-round pick they've made since Earl Thomas that I'd ever heard of. So for that reason alone, Brock, I'm pumped. 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Piped. All right, after training back from 18 to 27, the Seahawks selected San Diego State running back Rashad Penny with their first-round pick. He'll join us this morning at 9 o'clock. Penny's 5'11", 220 pounds, ran 4.46 at the Combine, and rushed for a calm 2,248 yards in his senior year at San Diego State, including one of the greatest bowl games you'll ever see, the Armed Forces Bowl, where he had four touchdowns and ran for 220 yards on 14 carries. I like it. The Seahawks got more physical and stuck specifically to their stated goal. This isn't the opposite of trading Max Unger for Jimmy Graham. This is saying we want to be a physical run-first football team and then drafting the guy that helps you do it. I love it. My favorite pick they've made since Earl Thomas in the first round.
Yeah, I think it sticks right to the conviction that we just all wanted. You just want conviction from these guys, and it's been an offseason of conviction. Sorry, Michael Bennett. Sorry, Richard Sherman. All the moves that we have to make, the tough decisions we have to make, and we got to get back to basics. And that just keeps resonating in my head when I hear it from Pete talk. We got to get back to who we are. And if who we are is a run team to help Russell, to help our defense, to help the entirety of our team, then we got to get the most violent physical back we can. And they feel like this kid is. And compared to the others that were on the board, he's more stable than Darius Geis. He's a whole lot more durable than Sony Michel, and just more wiggle, more versatility with 7 kickoff return touchdowns than a Nick Chubb. And that is why he was a Seahawk last night.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield did go number one overall to the Browns. In fact, 4 quarterbacks drafted in the top 10 for the first time in modern history. Crazy considering I don't think any of them are all that good. It includes UCLA's Josh Rosen, who lands here in the NFC West. He will play for the Cardinals, and he's mad at all the other 9 teams that passed on him. He's going to make them regret it. Stop me if you've heard it before. Look, I think all these guys were overdrafted, but I get it. It's a quarterback league, and if you're desperate for a quarterback, you got to make that move in the top 10. So there you go. Look, just to come back to for a moment to Rashad Penny, I like most of the what they did here. I do think you could make an argument that running backs it's too high to draft a running back. And if you're not going to take one in the top 10, you probably shouldn't take one until the 3rd round. But If they had a notion specifically that this is the guy that they think they can really build their offense around from a running perspective, I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I said this last night at the event we were at, and I really wholeheartedly believe this. The Baker Mayfield should thank Russell Wilson that he's the number one pick in this draft, not just because of his resume, but the fact that the NFL for the last 6 years was able to watch a quarterback that was under 6 feet tall become a franchise quarterback, become a Super Bowl winner, become a 4-time Pro Bowl player. And it really, without that precedent and without seeing it before, I don't think there is any way in the world that Baker Mayfield gets took number one overall in this draft. And as for Rosen to Arizona, I can't wait.
Jake Cutler.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
He's got a lot of Jake Cutler in him. Mariners have won 3 in a row after they beat Cleveland last night. 5-4 year final in game 1 of a 4-game series. Kyle Seager with a big 3-hit night, his 8th inning RBI put the Mariners on top for good. Edwin Diaz closed the door in, once again, filthy fashion. He's got 11 saves in 11 opportunities. It's only April 27th. He has 11 saves in 11 opportunities, and it's only April 27th. He's been the best player on the team thus far this year, and if that continues, probably spells good things for them.
Yeah, the run differential tells you the Mariners should be under 500. And as you've watched them over the course of the season, and as beat up as they have been, and you know some of the inconsistencies and real struggles with their starting rotation, they probably should be under 500. They're 4 games over for one reason alone, and his name is Sugar, or Edwin Diaz at the end of it. He's become the best closer in baseball right now. Now, can he do it for more than a month? James Paxton was the best starting pitcher in baseball last year for a month. Mike Zunino was the best catcher in baseball for a month. Can you now continue to build on it? They're having to use him an awful lot. He's having to close the door nearly on a nightly basis in one-run games, but the kid is more than delivering right now.
Those are three things you need to know every single day at 7:10. Let's throw this in there, a little bonus. Seahawks did not trade Earl Thomas last night. That's sort of the absence of news. But still options on the table, and we'll see what happens tonight. Cowboys pick at number 50, and that's sort of where the rumors are centered at the moment. I guess I'm now at this point kind of the belief it's probably not going to happen.
Mm.
But we'll see. Jerry Jones was sort of muddled and fuddled and duddled when he talked about it last night. And so who knows? Maybe they'll find a way to get it done. Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning,
guys. You guys looked and sounded great last night, 710sports.com, and then by the time the Seahawks were on the clock, you were on 710 ESPN Seattle. What did you think of Rashad Penny?
Well, of course, I mean, just like most Seahawk picks, it's always a surprise because you don't know exactly what they're thinking, but as you start to rationalize it, you can understand it. And then, you know, the fact that they didn't have picks in rounds 2 and 3, and of course they did make the trade down to get the third round pick, but they, you know, they wanted to make sure that, you know, they got the running back that they like. And certainly there was trades on the table that they could have taken and moved down from 27, but they felt that maybe some running back would come up and take away the back that they wanted. That's why at 18, they were considered taking Rashard Penny. And the reason certainly goes to the fact that he hits all the things that they were looking for. I mean, one, he can go out and be a third down back. I mean, he goes out and he catches things very well. He ran for over 2,200 yards. He was the best back in college football last year as far as breaking contact and getting yards. He had 80 broken tackles. So you throw all that together, and even though most people thought if they were taking a running back, it was going to be Darian Geis, I mean, this is the guy that they really wanted.
What does it say to the rest of the team? What do you think the rest of the Seahawks last night, the other 80 guys or so that were watching that draft, what did that pick say to the rest of the team?
They're going
to
run the ball. Simple as that. I mean, it really kind of goes back to the way this thing was based, you know, back when they made the trade for Marshawn Lynch. You know, as much as you talk about, and of course the reality is, you know, they built everything so much on defense, and they wanted to have the great defense, and they wanted to have the Legion of Boom. I mean, it still started with the running game. And so what they wanted is to be able to pound the football, and this guy gives them ability to pound the football. He's 5'10", 220 pounds, and now probably will end up playing at about 230 pounds. And it's not that he's going to automatically come in here and take every running play. What it's going to be is he's going to come in there, share the position with Chris Carson, maybe see what happens with CJ Procise, probably put CJ in a bad position. But I think what it tells the team is like, okay, that emphasis of running the football has taken precedence.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think it means for the other running backs on this team? How much will we see Chris Carson now?
You can still, I mean, it's going to be a competitive thing, and so I think you'll still see him because he's still the starting running back. But as time goes on, it's going to end up being Penny. But for now, Chris Carson gets a chance to start, share the position, and they can kind of work things out as how the development of this running back comes out.
You know, we asked you yesterday what was the top of your wish list. I put together a little grade A draft if they get a couple of these guys, and a couple of mine were on the board there. Vita wasn't. But Harold Landry, the pass rusher from Boston College, led the country in sacks 2 years ago, was. And the big offensive guard, Will Hernandez, he was on the board as well. Why no pass rusher and why a running back in that moment at 27?
That goes to John Snyder and it goes to Pete Carroll. The emphasis was to get the running back. And so, you know, they just had a better feel about him. And again, it goes back and you know, you look at so many of these picks that are the first pick for John Snyder. You know, you could never guess him. I mean, did you ever guess it was going to be Bruce Irvin? No, because again, he was going to be the guy that was a third round pick in some people's eyes. But as I thought the pass rush was going to be more important, they thought the running game was going to be more important.
So now what happens with Earl Thomas? He did not get dealt yesterday. I don't think that was a huge surprise, but there still remain a bunch of rumors about the number 50 pick with Dallas. Any chance he gets dealt today?
There's a chance, but I don't think it's a real good one because with Dallas not taking a wide receiver with the first round, still puts them in a position where I think in the second round they're probably going to be looking for a wide receiver. But if the right trade offer comes up with a 2, a 4, and maybe something else, yeah, something might happen. But I'd say the odds aren't very good.
Who do you think that team was that called John Schneider after the pick and asked about acquiring Rashad Penny? You have any guesses?
My guess, I mean, it would probably be Detroit. I know Kansas City, even though they've got the running back, there's no, it wasn't them. I mean, they were talking to Seattle at 27 about trading up into the round. And as Pete Carroll admitted, I mean, there's a lot of conversations with 27. A lot of people were calling up. I'm sure Baltimore was calling up. Remember, they end up getting the trade and getting Lamar Jackson. So there was a lot of teams. But I'm just curious because, you know, John Snyder, in all the years he's been doing this, has never had that happen. Yeah. You know, he's sitting there, they make the pick, and all of a sudden they make the pick, and somebody calls to try to get that pick back. Never happened from John Snyder. So what that team was, and I just kind of go to the teams that were looking to get running backs, maybe it was Detroit.
Hey, elsewhere in the NFC West, so the Niners take Mike McGlinchey at tackle, and then the Cardinals, of course, trade to get Josh Rosen, quarterback in Arizona. What do you think?
Well, I mean, on the McGlinchey thing, a lot of that had to do with the fact that Trenton Brown, their right tackle, showed up fat and out of shape when he came to the OTAs, and so I think that probably pushed him more in a direction to go for the offensive lineman as opposed to the linebacker. And you knew Steve Keim, the general manager, wanted to trade up and get the fourth quarterback in this draft. But the big thing was, you know, he didn't want to give up too much of the future. He didn't want to mortgage the future to get the quarterback. And so to be able to be in a position from 15 to 10 and only have to give up a 3 and a 5, that was the idea. And so now, you know, in a lot of ways, if Rosen can work out, and we'll have to ask Jim Moore about this, if Rosen can work out, this division eventually now becomes the best division in football. Because now, if there's four quarterbacks in this division, this thing really goes good.
Yeah, I think that was some of the thought. And I know you talked to the guys down in Arizona as well. And I think that's a lot of what they felt, is now you've got Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. You got Goff in L.A. You got Russell Wilson in Seattle. If you don't have a quarterback, and you've got a guy with degenerative knees and Sam Bradford and Mike Glenn, if you don't have a quarterback, you can't compete. I think it's a reach. I'd be concerned about Rosen's injury history as much as anything else, but that felt like, and with Keim, that's the one position, John, when you look at it, that's the one position that he's been unable to really draft well.
Yeah.
You know, every other spot, been pretty good, but at that quarterback spot, that's been the one missing link.
So you think this could be more of a Matt Leinart than a Carson Palmer?
It's Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Yeah, John, it just concerns me when you don't finish two of your three seasons. You know, it concerns me when I've heard as many of the stories as I've heard about him, you know, just kind of manipulating the situation to be in the best interest of one guy and not 53 others. And you know, when you haven't kind of turned to culture, as Baker Mayfield did, and why he went number one, or, you know, I think of Sam Darnold, the guy that you and I both thought should be number one, I have a tough time taking that in the top 10 of the NFL draft.
John, what do you see happening today for the Hawks? They have now just a third-round pick, sort of early to middle of the third round. Is that too early to take Shaquem Griffin?
No, because I think he's going to go in the third round. I mean, a lot of people now put him in there. Not out of the question he can go in the lower part of the second round, but it puts him in a position where, you know, they may be able to get him. And I think that one thing that you can see, and John Snyder kind of admitted it when he was talking about it, so did Pete Carroll, you know, they really have kind of revamped a lot of their thinking process on the type of players that they want. I mean, they want, and I think this goes back really into the early days of drafting. You know, it's the guys that, you know, love the game of football. And, of course, you know, Griffin does do that. And also, you know, it's not that they have to have, if there's a character questions, and that's not as big of a deal. But I think the big thing is, you know, where did they think they are? And, you know, Griffin thinks he's a great player, but he's humble, too. Same thing as what they were able to get in Penny. So I think that, you know, that attitude is a real big part of it. It goes back to Richard Sherman. It goes back to all the guys that they brought in, like Cam Chancellor. So I think they're going back to that philosophy.
John, great stuff, man. It was a really fun night last night. Fun to watch. You guys did a great job at 710sports.com. Brock and I will be there tonight. You can text draft to 710-710 for text updates throughout. And yeah, Wassel may be on the bass.
If you can play the bass, can you come sing a little, John?
Yeah.
I don't think you want that. That will not go over.
I didn't show you the picture Tom sent me of him in bed holding his bass.
Ready to go?
Yeah, I'll send you that.
Nice. Oh.
John, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there you go. And of course, on Saturday, tomorrow, John's show will really be more of a draft special with Danny and John and Roz and Jim Moore. Should be a lot of fun tomorrow. All right, let's do this. We got some people on the phone. I do want to take calls throughout the show today, 206-421-3776. We've got a big chunk set aside for you guys at 8, but would love to hear your reaction as we go on what the Seahawks did last night. And also just want to, I got some rapid-fire questions for Brock as well about the draft in general. So, man, it's a really exciting night. I love this. The draft is so much fun. The lead-up to it is great. The build-up is awesome. But once you actually get to see your picks, just so much cooler. So we'll have full draft coverage all throughout the day. Let's keep it going here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Is the Stilling Company's BSB Lounge at the ballpark.
When you purchase our award-winning spirits, remember to choke up on it for better control. Then send it down like a trip back to the minors.
You can't spell baseball without BSB.
Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of your Seattle Mariners.
Now they're going to go with an option with Sean Penn.
Yeah, I'm excited about this kid. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Brock and I exchanged a high five yesterday for a bunch of different reasons. I think we like that the Seahawks are committed to what they say they're committed to. I like it. I like when people put their money where their mouth is. And when you draft a penny, you were definitely putting your money where your mouth is. Okay. 206-421-3776. Phone line's going to be open here. Maybe I'll grab a quick call. I also, at some point, Brock, would really like to play John's call to Rashad Penny, because those are always really fun. And the kid was crying last night, which is pretty sweet.
You better believe it, brother.
We're going to grab a quick call or two. We can do that. And then I know we want to kind of buzz through the NFL draft. Let me start with Josh, who is in Kent. Josh, what did you think?
Hey, Brock. Hey, Sock. How's it going?
Good, dude.
Yeah, so really quick on the Rashad Penny. I like the pick. I love the player. So my favorite part about the offseason and the draft in general is kind of the theory cracking and the what ifs, right?
Yep.
And so, and Brock, what do you think for Posick maybe being center? Do you think he translates?
Hey, well, let's keep it on Penny.
All right. I like it. I like the pick. I love the theory, too. Nope, I think Britt's going to be your center of the future,
easy.
At least for the next
easy,
few years.
Easy. All right. Let's grab one more call. 206-421-3776.
Love it, Josh. Thank you, brother.
Paul's in Fall City. Hi, Paul. Let's keep a focus.
Morning, guys.
What's up, dude?
Count me a little bit disappointed.
Okay.
Mostly
that's all right.
Because of the position in the round.
Okay.
Between the salary cap and the rookie contract, you've got to either have a top three quarterback or you've got to have a handful of guys who are at really high-cost positions who play on rookie deals. I mean, if you're paying Jared Goff and Carson Wentz 10% of what Matthew Stafford's making, you can give all that money to Ndamukong Suh and Aqib Talib. That's how the Seahawks did it in 2012-2014.
Right.
But Rashad Penny's going to be making $2.5 million a year for the next 4 years, guaranteed. He'll be a top 25% paid running back. So he's got to play like a top 25% running back every of the next 4 years, and that only gets you the value of the contract. You get no discount on the contract.
Yeah, but you do get. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
It
you
is.
Do get the fifth year, which I think is a good thing, right? And having that option if this guy hits. You also, and I think this is what they would say to you, and I bet when we talked to Pete on Monday and those guys today when Mike and I are over there, is listen, you also get a guy that's an unbelievable returner. Now, if kickoff returns are moot and they disappear in this league, well, maybe we have a little different conversation. But you also get a guy that just isn't a running back and running back alone.
How many kick returns did he have?
Seven kickoff return touchdowns in his career.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a punt returner. So you get at least that phase of the game as well, not just
a good call, though, Paul. I respect what you're saying, and I think that's a really good point. When you look at it as a whole, taking a running back at the number 27 pick is not an ideal for me.
Yeah.
It's not the ideal place to draft a running back. On the other hand, because of the problem you have with not having a second-round pick and an inability to get there, all you could do was get back into the third round, they needed this. I like that it speaks to their identity, and I think that's important.
Well, their line needed it. Their defense needed it. Their special teams needed it. Their quarterback needed it. You know, what does Pete Carroll call it? His circle of toughness, right? And Pete even alluding to that last night of this is a pick that just makes others around you better.
I like the kid, too. And we're going to talk to him this morning at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to it. Here's the phone call last night when
Brother
Pete John called Rashad Penny.
Hello?
Hey, is this Rashad?
Yeah, this is him.
Hey, it's John Schneider with the Seattle Seahawks calling, brother. We're picking at 27.
Okay, yeah.
You want to get selected here, or you want us to wait and trade back?
I want to get selected now.
All right, brother. Congratulations. We're going to take you right here at 27.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're turning it in, okay? Here's Coach Carroll, all right, brother? Look forward to seeing you.
All right.
Rashad, congratulations. How about that,
Thank you so much.
We are really excited about this pick and know that you have a lot to offer. And you're bringing us a lot, and I hope you're really excited about this. This is a fine club to come to. It's a terrific team, and they're going to be really jacked about you being part of this thing. get your sights set now. We're going to expect you to do quite a bit now. You're going to be involved in special teams. You're going to be involved in the spot running back, and you're going to have to come in and compete, but you're going to do that just like you always have.
Most definitely.
Hey, well, congratulations.
You can hear him just start crying there, too. And if you've seen the video of it, he's bawling. He's got his head in his hands, and he is just flat-out bawling. It's pretty awesome.
You eat your vitamins, brother. You say your prayers, brother.
Hey, it's John Schneider with the Seattle Seahawks com, brother. All right, brother. Congratulations. We're going to take you right here at 27.
Wow.
Here's Coach Carroll. All right, brother?
That's a brother supercut Lydia created right there. Let's buzz around the NFL little draft edition. Brock, bunch of quick questions for you.
All right.
Ready?
All right, brother.
Who's the biggest surprise of the first round?
Rashad Penny.
No kidding. All right. Who was the biggest steal of the first round?
Minka Fitzpatrick. It was really cool. Lawyer Malloy was with us last night, and you sure enjoyed, I think, conversation with Sean Locklear and Lawyer, and just talking ball. And as these guys pop up, and I said, Lawyer, that's you, man. Don't tell me that you didn't play like Minka Fitzpatrick, and he plays like you. The guy loves ball. He loves to play. Freshmen don't come in and play in the secondary. For Nick Saban, you're like, you got to earn it. He came in and he played. He took the ball away. He was dominant. To get him outside the top 10, to me, was the best value.
He goes number 11 to Miami. Let's see. Who was the biggest reach of the first round?
Josh Rosen.
So bigger reach. I mean, there are going to be people
Ward at four. That's not fair. Denzel Ward at four is the biggest reach. You can't take a corner there. You can't take an undersized corner that tapped out, in my estimation, of his final game to his team there at the Cotton Bowl when he just said, nah, I'm out. Not a week before, not 2 weeks before, just out. So kind of a thin framed, yes, he's a press corner. I can't take that guy at four. That's the biggest. To me, that was the biggest reach because I think there was unbelievable trade value to go down. You could have gotten him later.
Could you have taken Colton Miller, the tackle from UCLA, at 15? Or is that a Tom Cable special? That's got Tom Cable special written all
good
over
luck,
it.
Good luck, Oakland. Enjoy.
That's a massive man now. That's a 6'9", 300-pound athlete. But that's a reach.
What was your favorite pick of the first round?
Sam Darnold to the Jets. I he'd have been my number one guy. You know, the Jets hit a home run. They traded up. They made that move, you know, a few weeks ago, and a lot of speculation that was Baker Mayfield. And they probably said, Saquon's going to go number two to the Giants, and we're either going to get Baker or we're going to get Sam. And I think if you're the New York Jets, as Tom Brady is going to move out of the AFC East, you have a chance to have the next franchise guy in that division.
Best pick, I just can't go with any of these quarterbacks. I think the best pick of the early part of the first round is Bradley Chubb, number five to the Broncos. Now, they needed a quarterback, too. But kudos to them. They didn't like any of these guys. None of them were that good. Now you're going to have Von Miller on one side and Bradley Chubb on the other.
And they got Case Keenum. I mean, that helps them not have to take that quarterback.
So there you
they
go.
Have to reach there at five.
So you get to see week one, by the way.
Who's that?
Denver. How do you like the Vita Vea fit in Tampa?
It's a good fit for him. You know, he's going to have a legit D-tackle next to him, a couple linebackers that can run. I think that's a pretty good fit and feel. I bet there was some hope that he was going to end up with Oakland there, either in the Bay Area and as they move to Vegas and stay out on the West Coast and family and everything. It's a long, long way from home. He's never been in that situation. But, yeah, he's got some legitimate pieces on that D-line around him.
Do you like what he was wearing?
He looked good last
He looked
night.
Pretty good.
The hair was flowing,
yeah.
Too.
No seven-second pauses before answers, either. Final one for him, and then we'll basically keep these going with Blue 42 next. Which player drafted was the biggest bummer for you that he didn't make it to Seattle? Like, which of these guys would you just... darn, I was really hoping he'd fall to them.
Yeah, they're kind of two. Billy Price, I thought after tearing his...
Early.
I thought after tearing his pick, there would be a little value play that people...
He went number 21 to Cincinnati.
He sure did. He went a pick after the other...
They could have had him at 18. Would you have rather had him at 18?
No, you couldn't take that at 18. Okay. No, but that was kind of a bummer. And then right after him, Rashawn Evans, I just love. You heard me rave about him in my little profile. That guy is just a baller. And he walked out there, shades... But he had like this nice-looking suit. He had sunglasses on his shirt. Like, I'm a pro, and I'm about ready to go knock some fools out. So I think those two guys, where they did, you know, ultimately I would not have taken either of them at 18. But, you know, if Billy Price, with that pick, could have been in this second round, and yada, yada, you trade and value, that guy's a mauler. That guy is a mean, mean human being.
What'd you think of Taven Bryan? Is he somebody you liked? He ended up going a couple picks later to Jacksonville.
That's a perfect fit for Jacksonville.
The highlights they showed, he looked
awesome.
He's just
physical. He's from Wyoming.
Yeah.
Dad was a Navy SEAL. That's a tough dude. Like, he bumped on the stage like he was ready to go tackle Roger. Let's go. Flat back, hips explode. I'm going to knock you out, Kamish. So, yeah, you're right, man. There's just something about the energy of the draft. And I think I said this to you and Lydia last night. Like, hundreds of hours. We have spent hundreds of hours watching, you know, tape and reading, and for me, just having some background with these guys on the college football road, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of hours. And to finally get to that moment last night and have today to talk about it is an absolute blast.
All right, 206-421-3776. Phone lines will remain open with a huge chunk of time set aside here at 8 o'clock for you guys to talk about what you think on Rashad Penny and what the Seahawks did last night. Coors Light's Blue 42 coming up next. Brock talked to a current member of the Seahawks last night and took away two things that he really, really liked for the upcoming season. I'll tell you what those are next in Brock and Salk.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Puyallup. You know, when you're shopping for a new vehicle, you want the best value and to be treated fairly. You want confidence that the dealership will be there long after the sale. Well, Toyota Puyallup is Washington's most awarded Toyota dealer for customer satisfaction, and they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Toyota Puyallup has more than 700 new Toyotas for you to choose from and one of the largest selections of Toyota trucks in the Northwest. Plus, they all come with 2 years of complimentary maintenance. So go see Carrie and her team at Toyota Puyallup, putting you first since 1970.
Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk Show. And you know what would be fantastic is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, phone call's starting to fill up here, and we'll take some of these 206-421-3776. Seahawks have now made one pick and one trade so far in the draft. They now have a third rounder, which is pretty exciting. We'll be covering it tonight, all on 710sports.com exclusively. You can sign up to be told about all of it on 710-710, just text the word draft to 710-710. You'll get a text after every Seahawks move. And, you know, they'll let you know what we're up to tonight, Brock. You excited for that?
Can't wait.
Me and you, Wassel, Stacey's going to be on with us.
I'm going to ask Tom if he can play the Silent Lucidity, Queensryche.
Oh.
So I think they're performing. I can sing
it's like
that
one of my favorite songs ever.
Hush now, don't you cry. I can kind of do that song a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I might do it tonight. For your birthday.
I've got a story about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. All right. Question number one, Coors Light's Blue 42. If the Seahawks had picked at 18, if, as John Schneider said, everyone had run away from them instead of everybody but Green Bay, who do you think they would have taken at 18?
Yeah, I think Rashad Penny's on the board. I'm going to take it for their word because they're usually pretty forthright, especially after the fact. The other name that I heard quite a bit actually went between 18 and 27, and it would have been shocking. It would have been much more shocking than even a Rashad Penny for this team. And that is tight end Hayden Hurst from South Carolina. That they really liked him, and obviously he goes, so how shocking would it have been? Well, I'm sure the Mel Kuypers would have said, oh, what a reach. Get him in the second or third round. He's a tight end. You can't take him there. But you know what? When Ozzie Newsome does, and the former Hall of Fame tight end takes Hayden Hurst right there, it just shows you from evaluation standpoint what Mel and Todd, and this isn't to rip any of those guys. You know, they're doing their job. They're putting their board together. But each of these teams does as well. And I think there is a lot of truth that maybe even from prospect 15 to 50, there was just a pick your flavor. Yeah, because there's a bunch of good players still sitting in that green room last night. Josh Jackson from Iowa, a lot of really good talented players that did not get picked last night. But Hayden Hurst was a name that I think the Seahawks thought an awful lot
of. I don't think I would have been that mad about it. I mean, can he block?
Yes.
Because what I keep reading is he was a willing participant in the run game.
But he was 25.
That's
a former minor leaguer.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and a tight end, not a every single play touch the ball different.
This picture doesn't look like what I thought. All right, question number two.
John Ryan would have loved it.
All right, so you had a couple of grade A guys, Brock, that you wanted. You would have given the Seahawks an A if they had picked them in the first round. Yep. They didn't go. Why not?
They didn't go to Seattle, and they didn't go anywhere. And I think for similar reasons, and that is just some red flags.
Who were they?
Harold Landry, the defensive end pass rusher out of BC, who you mocked, and not like a mock draft, like you mocked me.
Well,
and
that's
said,
just
you
the
can't
idea
take
of a BC DN.
Guy. Boston College players can't play. And it's a shot
a
at
DN.
Mike Mayock, by the
it's
way.
It's a shot at Mike Mamula, really.
Yeah. Harold Landry led the country in sacks. Mike Mamula never did that. Mike Mamula was just good at the combine and got
nice
drafted
Kiwanuka
ridiculously.
Too.
Yes.
It didn't work out much better.
Harold Landry had knee and back issues, as it turns out. And some of those medical things that, we're not privy to and teams don't disclose that they want to be careful about and try to protect those players. And we'll see just how far he falls. You don't lead the country in sacks, and everybody has a need for pass rush in the NFL. They love that. They covet that. You don't lead the league, you know, the entire country with 6.5 and not go in the first round unless there's issues, and there were issues, and there were orthopedic issues. Will Hernandez, I'm not quite sure. There are just some teams that did not like him on their board. And whether that was just the girth that you referenced, Mike, nearly 350 pounds, whether it is some of the structure, whether there's some off-the-field concerns, whatever it was, there were some red flags and enough of them that he did not end up in the first round.
All right, question number three. You talked to Tyler Lockett last night. We Brock and I were over to Seahawks draft party, which was fun. Hung out with Sean Locklear for a while. He had really positive things to say about Mike Solari, which I liked. New Seahawks offensive line coach. Lauren Molloy was there, and then Tyler Lockett came by. And Brock, what'd you like hearing from him?
Yeah, the two things I really enjoyed hearing is he was like, man, we are a fast team, right? They've all begun. They've had the 2 weeks of lifting and running and being on the field as a team without the coaches. And he's like, we are so much faster than we've been. Some of this new blood that we brought in, and Jerron Brown, and some of these guys can really run. And you know, I used to be the fastest guy, and now I'm getting pushed and challenged, and I don't know if I can say that. And the other thing, and this wasn't just player talk. He's like, and we are working. Man, they got us working these last 2 weeks. It has been a little bit more arduous, a little bit more challenging in that weight room, and being pushed, and appropriately so. I mean, tell me that that's not been the vibe. You know, Pete and John, pretty quiet for a few months, went into a little bunker mentality, right? The number of times we've heard, hey, we're going to get back to our roots. We're going to get back to the very nature, the buzz in that building. That's what it is all about. And the work that's gone in, at least the first couple weeks from someone that's in there doing it, and Tyler Lockett working, yeah, man, it's been pushed.
That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. I keep getting distracted because I'm just watching Rashad Penny highlights all morning. I really like him, man. I enjoyed watching him. I kind of picked up on him in the in that Armed Forces Bowl last year where he was playing against Army. First of all, one of the best bowl games of the year. Back and forth with two teams that didn't throw the ball.
I'm always a fan of the Armed Forces
Bowl. Dude, it was so
fun. 800 people there, but it's a good one.
It was really fun to watch this year. Came right down to the wire when Army ran it in for a touchdown on like fourth down or something.
Remember
that game?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It was awesome.
There was like no pass. Army threw it like twice out of 95 plays.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And Penny, as I said, had 14 carries for 220 yards and four touchdowns in that game.
You know what? Why don't you share that? You can share that Locklear story, right, about Mike Solari?
Of what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. First of all, Sean Locklear, what a nice guy. I mean, I remember him as a player, but I don't remember really talking to him much. Just a nice guy, lives in the area, and it's fun watching some of the highlights and stuff with those guys.
And kind
much
of the
like
Ringo Starr of that O-line, right? There was McCartney, there was Lennon, there was all the other guys, Walter Jones and Tobeck, right. And then who was the right tackle? Sean Locklear.
He really had kind things to say about Mike Solari, and the one thing he said, and I don't think he'd mind me repeating it, is, hey, look, if anybody on that offensive line goes into a game unprepared this year, it'll be on them. The one thing you can say for sure about Solari is that he will have those guys prepared for every single game. And if they're not, it's because they didn't want to learn.
That's good.
So I thought that was a good sign. And Tom Cable is certainly polarizing. Some pluses and some minuses, probably more minuses than pluses at the end for Cable. And to see him replaced by somebody who's at the very least going to have them ready to go.
Yep.
And hopefully have everybody in the right positions as well. And that means figuring out just who Jermaine Ifedi is. It means having a real left tackle now in Dwayne Brown. The other thing he liked is Reese Odhiambo maybe competing for that right tackle spot, who he happened to like a little bit. So those are just some of his thoughts, Sean Locklear, as I can relate to you there. All right, can we hear from the people, please?
Can they wish you a happy birthday, too?
Huh?
Milestone birthday for Salk tomorrow.
Thank you.
And today's penultimate day, the last one that he spends is less than 40.
Yeah.
Can you at least wish him a happy birthday when you call him?
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Oh, I would love
to. I get
that.
Super embarrassed.
I know you do.
Telling people it's my birthday on my birthday. The present thing is still weird you know how you talk about what a good gift receiver Howdy is?
You're not.
I get very uncomfortable.
You want the jersey yesterday. You were okay.
It was so meaningful what Greg did. Like, I really appreciate everything. But I struggle to get gifts.
Yeah, not a great gift.
I don't know. We didn't do a lot of big gifts in my house growing up. It was a really, like, downplayed part of birthdays and Hanukkah and all that. Like, gifts are pretty minor in the Salk household.
Not a great gift for
I get kind of weirded out by them. All right, give me a nice gift just by giving a call today. 206-421-3776. What is your reaction to Rashad Penny and everything the Seahawks did last night? We'll discuss next. I'm Brock and Salk.